This week's Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat is going to be a little bit different. Why, you might ask? Because we went live. What does that mean? We had a live audience asking real questions. We had a real conversation with two women on the stage in the Spotify San Francisco office. Huge thank you to Spotify for sponsoring our space. It was a wonderful evening filled with great people, really, really good energy, and just some good uplifting conversation about making a switch, pivoting, or quitting. So as you know, each week when we have the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. So with this week at the live event, we did the exact same thing that we do every week when we sit down and talk to an amazing woman, but this time we had two amazing women that we were chatting with. And if you stay tuned, you'll hear it all. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for coming out. Welcome to Spotify. Welcome to the first live Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat. My name is Ayana Angel. I am your host. So, today, we're going to have some good conversation, okay? I hope you guys are ready, or you gals are ready. So, today, this podcast, or this chat, is going to be streamed on the podcast. So, this is the first time that we're doing a live Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat. So, first, we're going to invite Candace up. Candace is one of our special guests today. Candace Van Wy is an editor and a creator of Brown Girls Blogging, and she is also a fellow podcaster. Yeah, She's a fellow podcaster. She hosts the Creative Millennial Podcast. So we're happy to have her chatting with us today. So if you have any questions about social media and all that good stuff too, and if, because we all have questions about social media all the time, right? That's the world we live in. Fire away. And next we have Amy. Come on up, Amy. You might want to come this way because there's a lot of questions. I know, it's a little bit tricky. So Amy is, she's an Ohio transplant, and she is, and she also has a blog with the same name, and she is a content manager at Pinterest. Don't we all love Pinterest?
Yeah.
I always have I won't say a whole podcast, because on Sundays I do like a 7-minute Sunday podcast to get you like ready and energized for the weekend, and it was all about your secret Pinterest board. You know, because don't we all have them?
We do. Yes. And there's a lot of awkward ones too, right?
Yeah. You guys
are good. I was just going to say, yeah. That's all. Everything about me is awkward.
Yeah, it's like, I like when you have your secret Pinterest board, it's like all those things that you want, but you don't really want people to see yet. You just know that these are the things that you want to manifest and put into action into your life. So I think it's kind of crazy because one of my people that I talk to regularly, she's like, I'm going to start living my life that's on my secret Pinterest board. And I was like, you should. You know? But the reality is we all have one, right? So... Okay, welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for being here. So first off, let's start with this. Since you guys are both transplants and not natives of the San Francisco Bay Area, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to be in San Francisco. Whoever wants to start, follow up.
Okay. Candace Van Wy, like she said, I'm only really here because I have a husband and he got a job at the Bay Area. And I actually really, really wanted to live here for the last 2 years because we honeymooned in San Francisco. So I tell people that I actually manifested my move here because 2 years ago, there was no way that I could afford to live in San Francisco. We had a lot of debt. We were like, I remember when we got married, we literally maxed out our credit cards. And we got married to kind of get our finances in order, which is the opposite of what everybody else seems to do. They go, I want to be financially straight first and then get married. We looked at our finances and we're like, I was like, look, if I'm helping you pay off a car and a credit card, I'm definitely not going to be your girlfriend, okay? So we ended up, getting married, and we started working towards eliminating debt and being able to move to San Francisco. And a big thing was, obviously, I was already self-employed. It was like him getting a job here, so that happened. And, yeah, I'm from South Carolina. I am extremely Southern, extremely country. I have been working for myself since 2013. I did the whole full-time job working for myself thing, but I only did it for about 3 months, and I try to be really, really transparent about that. And I went full-time about 3 months after starting my business. What I do is that I do marketing and consulting for smaller businesses. And a really funny thing, sorry, I don't know how much time I'm still. And what I tell people, because people don't understand how I was able to work for myself at such a young age. Number one, the first thing that I did was my audience was not online. So a lot of people who try to do online marketing and consulting for businesses, they decide to do ads on Facebook or they go on Twitter and try to build a brand. I kind of thought that was backwards because I was like, the people who I want to help don't have social media. That's the whole point of why they need me. So I actually went after older clients, like people in their 50s and 60s who had businesses, and they were like, okay, I know online is a thing I should do. So I joined a lot of those, you know, those networking groups like LeTip or something like that that you go to every week. You have to have breakfast or whatever, you pay a due, and there's lawyers. And so I had a lot of lawyers and pharmacists and dentists, and it was like not exciting, but you know. It was cool because I got to work for myself, and I also got to work with clients who let me do my job and weren't like all annoying about it. Every time I got like somebody who was 30 or something, they would, I'm like, you hired me. Yes. No, like, so that is what I did. That is actually the biggest thing that helped me, because instead of going after people online, I did a lot of in-person networking. If you can't tell, I talk a lot and I am very extroverted. So that is how I grew my business, and that is how I was able to work for myself. And I still do that. Right now, like she said, I run a blogging group for minority women who blog called Brown Girl Bloggers. And I am in the process of making it a full-time thing because it's actually just been a hobby for me. And when I started it, it was to make friends because, like I said, I'm extremely, extremely extroverted. And when I started blogging, I could not find minority women. And there's nothing wrong with non-minority women, obviously. But I was like, why don't we get write-ups? Why is nobody talking about us? So I made a blog roll. Like, I literally painstakingly went through Google, went through every Facebook group, anything, and like made a list of lifestyle bloggers, mommy bloggers, whatever, and like invited them to Brown Girl Bloggers because it was like a passion project. And now it's grown into this whole group where we have a lot of social media followers. We do popular Twitter chats. And this year I'm doing a membership site. So I'm going to do more education. And the biggest thing for me is that I don't want to put noise into the atmosphere or the blogging sphere, I should say. And also, I don't want it to be expensive. So I do want to do courses and stuff, but I don't want it to be $300, $500, $1,000. I do want to do more stock photos featuring Black women and featuring us that are high quality, but again, not expensive. So I'm actually focused on that. I'm in the process right now of building out this membership site, fully funding it myself, and you know, I don't know what's going to come of it, but I'm super, super excited. And yeah, I live here, I live in the city, and it's fun, and I'm glad to see so many brown faces. I want to know all of y'all. Y'all gonna be like, I'm like, let's do lunch. So, yeah, that's me.
Hi guys, my name's Amy. I am from Ohio, like you said, and I kind of have like a different track too. So I went to school in Ohio at this place called Ohio University and studied magazine journalism. And I always was so obsessed with fashion magazines. And I think when I was a kid, every month I used to go to the grocery store and pick up the Vogue and the Harper's Bazaar. And I really wanted to be a magazine editor. And I worked super, super hard in college and got to my final month in school and just had a really hard time finding a job, as I'm sure a lot of us have kind of experienced, right? Especially in journalism, where A, it doesn't pay very well, and B, how do you start, really, right? Either you start as like an intern that doesn't get paid, and like how do you pay your bills, or you're getting paid very, very little. So that was kind of what happened to me, and I kind of had this like crisis. But luckily, I got an opportunity at Macy's in their executive development program, which was interesting to say the least. But it helped me get out to San Francisco. And initially, like, I wanted to move to New York, and then just something was drawing me to the West Coast. I really like only was here once before when I was a kid, and I just knew it was something I had to do. So I did that for a few months, and you know, I was like commuting 2 hours there, 2 hours back to Hillsdale, and as I'm sure you guys know, commuting is like rough. And I kind of had this like come to Jesus moment with myself, being like, you're not happy. You can tell that you're not happy. Your mom is asking your friends behind your back, like, is she okay? And so it's time to make a change. So I quit that, and that was super scary because, you know, it's just like the unknown, right? And I think a lot of things happened during that time, and I think change is really terrifying for a lot of people, and it was really terrifying for me.
Right.
But you kind of have to just be confident, like, the universe is going to take care of you, right?
Right. That's what I was going to ask. You guys have both undergone, like, some different changes and made some, let's say, drastic changes, some changes that some other people would be uncomfortable with. And a lot of times people are uncomfortable with change. It's like you get fearful. So do you have any tips or suggestions for people that are in a place right now where they're entertaining change? Maybe a tip or two about how to sort of navigate that, or how to, what's the first way to even start to comprehend this change and how to deal with it?
The first thing that came to mind when she said that was accept help. A lot of people have this thing where I'm not asking for help, or like, I want to do it on my own. Like, nobody's ever going to be able to hold it against me that they made it. And I just be like, okay, you do that. You have a good time. And obviously there are some people who have to, like, they have no choice. They don't have family, they don't have friends, whatever the case may be. But in my opinion, like, some people, if you have to live at home with your mama and she's cool with that, yeah, do it. Your mama might be kind of annoying. You might be like, I'm grown and I don't want rules. Like, why would you not accept free rent? I'm not understanding. Or like, or in my case, and I try to be super transparent about this, I have been with my husband since I was in college. As an adult, I have never not been with him. As an adult, he has never not made enough money to support two people. So when I quit my job, it wasn't like, oh, I don't know how I'm not going to eat. I was good. Like, that's just real life. And like, it's, we had to make, like I said before, when we got married, we were in debt and stuff like that. So we had to cut our finances. And one thing that we did was we moved into maybe not the most desirable neighborhood, because before moving here, we lived in San Diego, and we cut our rent in half. And oh, another really good thing too, sorry, is to, when you're thinking about your budget, be realistic for yourself. For instance, a lot of people tell me like, oh, you should cut out eating out of your budget, right? I don't cook. So I decided to move to a cheaper neighborhood and like, you know, take public transportation more than I drove and stuff like that, then like stop eating, because I'm not gonna not eat out. And I found other ways, like crock pot meals or something like that. Like, I can do a crock pot meal, I can do that, but I'm not gonna cook. I'm not doing this. If it takes multiple steps, I'm not going to do it. I will sit on the couch mad eating cereal before I cook, and that's horrible. So be realistic about budgeting goals and actually try to budget, but also accept any help you can get. Like, I've had so many people help me, y'all. Like, so many people, whether it be like, oh, you can host an event here for free, or oh, I know somebody who knows somebody, you know what I mean? Or my family members are really good with, like, my family is not rich by any means, but if I called home and I needed a plane ticket or I needed something, they gonna scrape together and get it, you know? Always accept help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't think people are too higher above you to ask too, because no matter where you are, you're gonna think other people are better or higher than you, I guess is to say. Because to somebody, they look at me and they look at like the subscribers or whatever their Burn Girl Bloggers has, and they go, oh, she's unapproachable. And I'm like, if you send me an email, I'm going to answer it. You know what I mean? Or like when I started my podcast, I was really nervous about, because I had never podcasted before, I was like, oh, I'm reaching out to people to interview them. they don't know me. Like, you know, I'm nobody. And then people were responding quick. Some people, obviously, I got ignored quite a bit. A lot of people just didn't respond to my email. But, you know, I accept that help where it is. And I also, I try to be very, very realistic. I also, one more tip. I'm going to let you talk, I promise. Be careful about who you take advice from, too. Because, like I said, I try to be super, super transparent. I never get up anywhere and say, oh, yeah, I work for myself. I did it on my own. I quit my job after 3 months to do it. I don't say that. I say if you have to live with your mama if you want to quit, or, like, if your parents are willing to help you in some way, you have friends that you can move in with. Some people make it seem really easy. They make it seem like they did this thing, and like, they don't tell you, oh, the fact that they got a part-time job at a grocery store. They don't tell you that they had a boyfriend helping them finance it. So you got to be really mindful and really careful about who you take advice from. Those are my three tips.
Yeah, I'd have to say, like, don't, you know, obviously take advice from people, too, and just, like, never lose sight of your mission, right? You know in the bottom of your heart and, like, your gut what you want to do. And so I think, like, the people who are, like, having a full-time job right now, but they're curious about maybe starting a blog or their side hustle or just a side business, like, go for it and do it and just stay hungry. And I think oftentimes the hardest part of doing something is just, like, starting it. And so having, like, a plan of action, and that can be, like, anything. Like, that can be a list, whatever, that, you know. So that's one of the things. And then also just being social, too. And I know that's so awkward to say, but it's kind of what you were saying. It's just, if you don't put yourself out there and if you don't make your voice heard, no one's going to hear you. So ask for what you want. And if, you know, no one's going to listen to you, make them listen to you. And I think that's sometimes a little bit scary, but, you know, you have to just kind of power through. And hopefully that's helpful.
No, yeah, that's good.
I absolutely agree. And I just want to piggyback off of that and say, I have a friend who she wants to blog. And she'll put up some posts here and there, and then she'll disappear. She'll put up an Instagram, and then she'll disappear. And it's like, there's no consistency, right? And I've told her time and time again, this is what you need to do. Like, I lay it out for her, because she's my friend, and we talk. I will lay it out for her. So finally, I had to tell her one day, I was like, you know what? You are so afraid to put content out there, but the reality is, nobody is checking for you, boo.
Real life.
Nobody cares. You have to make them care. So if you're not being consistent and you're not putting your best foot forward and you're not giving them content, the little content that you're putting out there, they don't even care anyway. They don't even know that you're there. So you might as well take advantage of the unknown and you being an unknown and put out the best quality content that you can and keep getting better and keep learning, so that by the time people are checking for you, you've given them a reason, you know? And they know what to look for, and they're like, then their expectations are high, but you've now put yourself to a point where you can meet their expectations.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, make sure that people know your name, like, put yourself out there, right?
And I also think, too, it's like, what's the content that you want to read on a blog or on Instagram, too? It's like, make that. And it doesn't mean that you have to copy anyone. You can totally be your original self, but it's like, the content that is authentic and real and, like, interesting is the stuff that's going to succeed.
Actually,
I was just telling Dominique before this. The other good thing about when you start is you can make so many mistakes and nobody's going to see it. I was going through my old external hard drive about a week ago, and I was looking at all of my old blog pictures from, like, 2013 to, oh, my God, it was so bad. And when I tell y'all I thought I was doing it, like... And I take my own blog pictures a lot, so I'm outside with a tripod. And, you know, people walk past and think you doing something and you somebody. And I remember being out there like, I have a blog. And I looked at those pictures like, oh, it's so cringy. I deleted, like, most of them. But some I had to keep because they're so bad that I know that I'm going to show them to people. But, yeah, make your mistakes. Don't be so worried about, to a certain extent, you're going to worry about numbers. Let's just be real. But remember that when you're smaller, you don't really know what you're doing, so you're going to make so many mistakes. And, like, I'm always not so nervous, but a lot of times before I send an email out, I have so many people on my email list now. Before I put a blog post out, I have so many people watching. And you know how our culture is now. If I make one mistake, they're coming after me. Black Twitter, they coming. Like, and I know this, and we're all problematic in our own ways. So you get a chance to I don't think I'm fake necessarily, but I definitely am more polished on mine. I know, and I learned, for instance, in my case, I don't need to say everything that I think on Twitter because I'm a hot mess, really. Like, I really am. So I don't say all my thoughts. And I had that chance to put all that crappy stuff on Twitter, and I deleted all those tweets, and nobody's the wiser. So think about that when you're spinning, like, starting. Like, just because nobody's watching, the three people who are watching who see your mistakes, they don't forget about it, girl. Don't forget about it,
okay? Have you guys ever been in a situation where you had an idea and you wanted to do something big? And when I say an idea, it might be like, you know, an idea for a job that you want to go after, an idea for a business, whatever. It could be personal or professional. You wanted to do something big, but you were afraid. And if you've been in that situation, can you tell us how you navigated through that fear?
I'm in that situation at this very moment. So, yeah. Like I said, Brown Girl Bloggers up until this point has been a hobby. Just because it has numbers and stuff like that, people probably think, like, I put a lot of effort into it because it was so fun to me, but I had a real job and real bills to pay, and I was also doing so much for free, like blog critiques for people, helping people create logos, just finding pictures. Like, somebody would be like, oh, do you know a picture of a black girl swimming underwater blowing bubbles out? Like, I would be tracking down stuff for people because the biggest thing for me is I wanted to be super helpful. And then I finally realized I really love doing it and I really want to make it a thing. The thing is, it can't be free anymore. Everything can't be free. A lot of it is. And obviously, you know, I'm getting sponsors for events and stuff, but I'm creating a membership site that will be paid. It's not going to be expensive by any means, but I'm going to be asking for money from people, right? And the biggest fear that I have is that people will feel ripped off. Like, I never want somebody to give me even $5 and be like, what is this that I just paid for or something like that. So I'm not even scared of people not showing up because they might not. I really don't know. But I'm scared of being seen as somebody who took advantage of bloggers. And I'm so... I don't know if y'all can tell from, I can hear it in my voice. I feel real crazy about this, but I spend so much time every day right now because I'm building the site out. I'm doing it myself. I'm creating a ton of content for it. I have been contacting photographers for pictures. I'm contacting influential bloggers and entrepreneurs and people like that who I want to speak to the members. And I'm trying to make it as great as I possibly can. And it's getting to the point where I haven't even announced the date for it to launch. And I spent the last 2 weeks I didn't even want to look at it because I was just, it just fills me with a sense of fear. I feel like it's so close to me that I'm scared that it will come off the wrong way, I suppose, or something like that. And so I finally had to realize, and this is advice that I've been giving to people for so long, is how stupid, how dumb are you to not do something that's going to make you happy because of what other people might say? Like, the biggest thing is me taking my own pictures. Like I said, I go outside for my blog with a tripod, a camera, and a clicker. I probably look ridiculous to some people, right? But when I put that picture up on Instagram and people really like my style, or when I put that up on my blog post and people compliment my shoes and stuff like that, that makes me feel so good. So why am I going to let the opinions of other people? So I finally had to just realize that me not doing it and me just kind of like, and you know, I had a lot of excuses. Oh, our hosting was messed up. Oh, this and that. Like, that'll stop you from writing, Candace. Like, come on. You know what I mean? So I give people advice and stuff, but I'm still going through it at the same time. And I'm so scared, so, so nervous. And I just have to tell myself that advice. Like, it will be dumb. It will be stupid. And actually, funny enough, my husband the other day came in the room. I was laying in bed, you know, not working and eating popcorn or whatever I was doing. And he was like, so I guess you're going to get a job now. And I was like, excuse me? He was like, well, you're not. I mean, you're home. You have your one client. But you told me you were doing this B2B thing and you're not. So I'm assuming that this isn't working. You get a job. I was like, nope. Yeah, we talk to each other like that. We don't sugarcoat it. We're not very sweet. We're horrible. But I was like, I'm not getting a job. And he was like, well, get up and work then. Like, yeah. And that was just that. And sometimes you need somebody to just, at least me, that's the way I am. I need somebody to just be like, Candace, you're actually ridiculous. So.
Yeah, so it's kind of a spin on things. Around like maybe a year and a half ago, I was working at an advertising agency as a writer. and I was laid off. And it was like the most tragic thing. And I literally felt like I was in this like deep, dark depression. I'm like, oh my God, I was like fired basically. And it was because I like, you know, amounted my worth with my job. And
oh,
that
yeah.
is so dangerous. I'm sure you guys all feel that way occasionally, but like, I want to stress the importance of like, that is just one aspect of you is your job. And you're so much more than just being a copywriter at XYZ advertising agency. You're so much more than that. And so for me, I was like, this is crazy. And I just had so many thoughts coming into my mind that time. I was unemployed for maybe like 2 months, and I was having to go through all these things like unemployment for the first time and just all those things that they don't teach you in school.
No.
And why don't they teach you that in taxes? Like,
yeah.
they should. But I know, right? And then, you know, I really just had to hustle and like figure out something to do. And I'm one of those people that just really can't sit still. So I got a call from a previous like coworker. And this was on a Friday, and I remember exactly, she called me up, and she's like, hey, Amy, we need a writer at Pinterest. And I was like, oh, wow, like, what's the opportunity? And she's like, it's to build this entirely new team, and it's just me right now. And she's like, I need you to help kind of start the concepting, the writing for advertisers on Pinterest. And I was like, okay, like, that sounds cool. And I was like, so, like, talk to me about it. And she's like, it's a contract first, you'd be freelancing. And I was like, great, like, that sounds cool. I need a job. I need money. She's like, come in on Monday. I was like, oh, shit, like, Monday?
Monday?
And so I started there on a Monday, and that was, like, in September. Worked freelance for 3 months, and it was, like, crazy. I didn't have health insurance at that time because it's so expensive. Like, you never know those things. And so, and I didn't know that, like, taxes was going to ding you if you didn't have insurance. But I did it because I loved it. And I was writing all the time and working with creative people. And it was super fun and engaging. And so, like, that's kind of, like, a take on your question is, like, taking the leap and just saying, I give zero Fs if it's, like, a freelance basis. Like, I don't care if I'm not getting benefits or anything like that. It's that stepping stone. It's that jump. And
being uncomfortable to be more comfortable.
Yes, and it's my favorite saying. Yeah, it's my favorite saying.
That's what I'm telling myself right now.
Yeah.
So.
And I was converted in that 3 months full-time. Got benefits, equity, and here I am a year and some change later, like, hopefully, like, rocking that team. We've built it up from 2 people to 11 people, and, you know, we've kind of made a dent in some of the revenue, so it's cool.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Anyway.
Do you ladies think that there is a direct correlation between making changes in your personal life and your professional life?
Yes.
Okay. Because, and I ask this question, I'll just give a background, because a lot of people feel like, I want to make a change, I want to do something different, what's next for me, like, what's next on my radar? But I know through my personal experience, I figured out that it took me doing some soul searching, some digging, some really finding out who I was, a lot of reading, different things like that, to sort of understand what their next direction could be. So that didn't really have anything to do with this 9-to-5 that I was going to at the NBA. It had everything to do with me figuring out, as Ayana, what is next? What do you want to do? What are you invested in? What do you want to be invested in? So that's why I asked that question. Do you think that there's a direct correlation? And what have you done? What can you say that you've done in your personal life to impact your professional life?
What personal do I want to get right now?
We have a saying in my household. And something that I realized is that when I am not making progress, and also all the people that I know, that is when I feel depressed or down, or I feel like, and I realized a while back is when I'm not making progress. So progress in my personal life or progress in my professional life. And when I say personal, it can be like maybe I had a disagreement with my mom and I know I need to talk to her. I know we need to get past this because she's my mom. I only get one of her, right? And if I'm ignoring it, then I start to feel down. Whenever I was ignoring Brown Girl Bloggers as like, I was like, kind of like, I can't take it seriously. You know what I mean? Like,
whatever, yeah, people are asking me to do stuff and I wasn't making progress. I was really depressed, and I kept telling myself it was where I lived. And I kept telling myself, like, oh, it's because I live in San Diego. Like, I'm tired of living here. And we moved down here, my dream city, right? And I'm still feeling depressed. When I put up stuff, like, when I started sort of a light, like, oh, I'll build WordPress sites for y'all. I'll help you with your logos, but you have to pay me for blog critiques now. People threw that money at me. I was like, what? So I think,
I think I forgot to know.
So,
oh, yeah. I got it now. Y'all, my flow of consciousness is like, but basically, yes, when I make changes in my personal life, when I'm in a better state with my family, when I'm in a better state with my husband, I feel that roll over to my professional life. And not only that, if I'm not doing well in my professional life, and that's well for me, I'm not that nice of a person to be around, because I'm taking out my frustration on, like, me being a punk on everybody else. You know what I mean? And I have noticed that, and I have to say with, you know, my marriage a lot, because that's the person I'm around the most, and that's the person I have the most, the closest relationship to, is that, you know, we'll be fighting and arguing, and then when we're not fighting and arguing, I'll be talking to people like, I don't even know why I'm mad at him. He's great, this and that. And then I get home, and he does something, and we fighting. And I'm just like, we're not even having a real fight. We're mad about the fact that our house looks a hot mess, or we're mad at the fact that, you know, he knew he needed to get the job that he has now, but he was scared to go after. We're fighting over the fact that I know, you know, in my heart, that I need to start charging people for certain things. Like, I can't be out here stressing myself out for free. And when I find that, when I have that balance, quote unquote, whatever that might mean for me, then my whole life is better. It just is. And that's everything from cleaning my house. Like, if my house is a mess, I can't, you know, it seems like my whole life is thrown off. So, yeah.
No, I totally agree. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I feel like every month I have this, like, introspective, you know, like, breakdown. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? Am I a good person? Am I okay?
Yeah.
Are my friends great? Does my family love me? It's just, like, the neurotic shit that, like, you know, it gets kind of weird. But what I'd have to say is, like, really sitting down with yourself and just, like removing the noise, kind of like you mentioned, and just kind of being with yourself. I think that's a really awkward thing to do, especially if you like to be surrounded by a ton of people like myself. Being alone is very strange and such a foreign feeling, but I think it's so essential for you to kind of really figure out and realize what you want. And I'd have to say another big thing is, like, for me, I like to surround myself with people, but sometimes all those people aren't the best for me, right? And you really have to pick out those toxic people. People who are not bringing you up and supporting you, like, get rid of them. And I know that's, like, easier said than done, but even if it's just not even hanging out with them as much, like, you surround yourself with positivity, like, positive things are going to happen to you. I truly believe it. And so I think that's, like, the biggest thing for me is, like, A, being introspective, and B, surrounding yourself with people who only want to help you and kind of build you up. So
you actually just touched on my next question, because I was going to say, how important is it for you guys to be around people, family, friends, who are supportive when you're trying to make changes in your life? Because when you're trying to make changes, it can be a very trying time. You know, it's like sometimes you don't know what to do. And if you're around people that aren't uplifting, that's got to be, like, the hardest thing ever, you know?
Yeah. And I think I'll bring it back to when I was laid off. Like, I was in a kind of a really sad state. And a few of my friends were like, Amy, you're amazing. Don't let this small little thing derail you from your path. Like, you know what you got to do. You know what you want to do. Like, you still have to rise up a little bit. So I think that was the coolest thing. And I think the community here in San Francisco has really helped me too. I only surround myself with female women in general, and, like, bloggers who are kind and transparent. And I feel like we can smell, like, bad vibes from a mile away. And so, like, I do not, like, I'll definitely be cordial and nice, but I won't bring them into my life. And that is a sacred space, as I'm sure you know.
I was going to say that I literally have never had, like, a bad friend, because all of my friends are legit the best people ever in life.
and my family. I always laugh and tell people about it because, like, when I moved out to the West Coast, it was just with my boyfriend, who's my husband at the time. And my mom and my family, they really think I can do anything. Like, they really do. They were like, go. And I'm thinking my Christian Southern parents are going to freak out about me moving across the country with some man. And they were like, go, girl. And everybody's like, you're going, you know, people who aren't from California think everywhere is famous people. Like, they think the whole thing is. And they're just like, who you met? You know, blah, blah, blah. But they just, they encourage me so, so much. And the thing is, I'm extremely, extremely extroverted. I need to be surrounded by good people, friends, and family, and I'm very new to the city, and I haven't found my circle yet, and that has been really hard for me because I talk a lot, and I like not only talking about my own ideas and stuff like that, but I find it really fun to help people. I find it really good when all of my friends are doing big things. Like, I have a friend who just graduated from grad school with honors and she works full-time, and I'm just like, that's my friend, girlfriend, you know, like stuff like that, and helping her study through Skype or whatever the case may be. And it's just like, if I hadn't had such a supportive circle, I wouldn't even be anywhere near as, like, I consider myself successful anyways, you know. I consider the fact that I could make an income that could fully support myself, I consider that to be successful. If it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for my husband, if it wasn't for my friends, my sorority sisters, everybody who has ever given me $5, everybody who's ever, you know, I'll call people freaking out because that's how my personality is. I will have a freak out and then 5 minutes later I'll be fine, and they encourage me. You know what I mean? And I need those type of people, and I am that type of person. I'm a really annoying positive person. Like, all of my mugs have affirmations on them.
Yes.
And I collect mugs, of course I do. And I believe in manifestation. I meditate every single morning. I think about stuff like how much water I drink affects my mood. And I feel like it's easy for me to see people and know that they're on the same wavelength as me. And you know, I go out to coffee and go out to lunch with people, and I meet people, and you're going to become friends with people if y'all are meant to be friends, I feel, right? So, yeah.
That you just touched on something that I wanted to ask you guys about. If there was someone that was trying to find their happy, you know, like trying to get to their happy place, I know we've all had our experiences with trying to just figure out what does that feel like and look like. Where would you suggest that they start?
With themselves?
Yeah, but what kind of tools, what do you do when you're trying to sort of get tap into your happy space and get really go there? Because you have to actively try to be happy,
mm-hmm.
I feel like,
mm-hmm.
in this world. There's so much that can tear you down. There's so many things that can, you know, challenge you. What are some of the things that you would do to try?
The first thing that I do is I take stock of my life. And I think that most of us, if we took real stock of our life, we don't have anything to complain about. Like, all of y'all sitting in here, y'all look pretty healthy. You're in San Francisco, you live in the Bay Area, and you're not outside homeless. You know what I mean? Like, look, I'll start, and I'm a list person. I'll make a list. Like, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm breathing, my curls are popping, like everything, little thing. You know, my mom is really cool, or my dad, I love my dad. And I'll make every single little list, and I'll try to get to like 100. And then sometimes I'll try to get to 150. Writing everything and starting with a sense of gratitude, because it's really easy to focus on the stuff we don't have, right? It's easy to be like, I wish I had more money, or I wish I did this or that. But then when you think about how much you spent on dinner last night and the fact that you're okay after doing that, when you think about the fact that you have way too many pairs of shoes, when you think about the fact that your friends are awesome, you know, I don't know your family situation, but whatever that might be, when you really think about that stuff, and I'll even get to the point where I'll think about, like, the fact that I have all five senses or stuff like that. Like, I was walking here, and it was raining, and I was just thinking about, like, man, I could feel the rain on my skin, or, like, because in this city, you see so many people who are way worse off than you, physically, mentally, like, that's what I do. And I think making a list is a great way, because it forces you to write it down, not just think about it. And I try to get to 100. I would say start with 100. Try to get to 150. Try to get to 200, et cetera, et cetera.
I love that. Gratitude is so important, too. And I think it's, like, essential for
yes.
living and thriving. And then I'd also have to say another one is just saying yes
is kind of foreign and awkward at times, but saying yes to things, because how will you know that you like someone, something or dislike something if you don't do it? So it could be anything from going out to coffee with a new friend, or it could be trying a yoga class, or for me it was like doing Reiki and learning more about like meditation and just like very weird and foreign things to me that you explore a bit more and then bring you happiness. And it doesn't always have to be a happy experience, but you can learn from it, right? And just kind of take that into consideration when moving forward. You meet a lot of different people that way, and you can have more skills and experiences in your tool belt for the future.
Absolutely.
So. Ladies, questions. Do we have any questions?
I know both these ladies up there.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. So I just want to ask both of you a question. How did you grow your social media? I'm in social media, love it, and trying to expand my blog and always looking for new things.
So the question is, how did the ladies grow their social media?
Okay, so for me, I have never really concentrated on my personal social media. I'm just going to get that out of the way. Like I said before, when I was growing my business, it was unnecessary, right? And I usually, although yes, I am very extroverted, when it comes to people expecting things of me, I usually have found that very hard, and I'm just now getting to the point. But when we're talking about brown girl bloggers, first of all, I started in 2014, so it's a little bit different today. But what I did is that I try to be super helpful, and I actually went out and was like actually going to people's social media, following them, commenting on their pictures, actually reading their blog posts and commenting and things like that. So you got to remember, right, my target audience was bloggers, so that is a little bit different. So the advice that I would give to bloggers right now is like, you can do that, and I do recommend that. But I think the best way to grow your social media is to, one, have really, really, really good content, right? Like, that's just it. That's it. Like, today, like, back in the day when you started a YouTube channel or a blog or something, you could do whatever. You could be on your iPhone. You could be, your lighting could be off. That's really not the case right now. And also focus on getting on bigger platforms than your platform, right? But the thing about that is you have to do it multiple different times. You can't just do it in Pinterest too. Pinterest is a good one for growing a bunch of your other social media channels, because we're always on Pinterest. I go on Pinterest as soon as I buy a new pair of boots and I'm like, how do other people style it? I go to Pinterest. Stuff like that. So it depends on the type of blogger that you are, but also be a person. Like, go and be social with other people online. That's what you have to do. And the only thing that sucks is like when you work full time, finding the time to do that is rough. And also being patient too. But yeah.
Yeah, I say being patient, totally.
Getting reposted.
Oh yeah, it's so hard too. Like, you know what I mean? I think for me, when I started a blog, I was like, okay, let the followers come on in. And then I was like, wait, this is such a slow trickle. And, you know, I think it's because the market is a little saturated, and that's okay. Like, I kind of enjoy that because there's so many amazing bloggers now, both men and women, who have great content. And to me, I'm a little bit internally competitive, so I really like creating the best content that I can. You know, I never purchased followers or anything like that. To me, it seems a little foreign, not to say that it's wrong or anything like that, but just being true to yourself, like you said, and like not, I mean, I've done a partnership one time, and I'll tell you guys this, it's like, this is so embarrassing, but it was for this pasta sauce company, and if you check out my blog, it's like a lifestyle blog, but I don't really cook, right? And so I went to my friend, and I brought this jar of pasta sauce that I bought myself. And I like took a photo with it, and I used my friend's like already like pasta leftovers, and I posted a photo of it, and I was like, damn, this doesn't feel good, but like I did it anyway. And the joke was on me because I didn't make any money and was $5 in the hole for buying the pasta sauce that I bought myself. So it's like, be authentic and true to yourself, and like you said, engagement is super important too.
Super important. But I think really the thing that makes, if you think about the bigger bloggers you know who didn't start in like 2010, right? That was a whole other thing. You cannot compare yourself to them. You can't
Think about the bloggers who you've seen get big maybe over the last 2 or 3 years. They make really good content. Like, if they're a fashion blogger, their pictures are on. I always tell people. Also, another thing is consistency. So I'll tell y'all my own personal sort of embarrassing story, I suppose. Like I said, I've never actively really tried to grow my online platform, but on Instagram, I'm pretty popular. Mostly, let's just be real, it's because of my hair. That's why I'm kind of popular. And I want to say about January this year, I had about 12,000 followers on Instagram, right? But I had stopped posting last year because when I tell y'all I was in grind mode, like, I paid off all my student loans last year. I didn't have time for Instagram. I have time to be cute. I had time to work, right? My engagement went down that so bad that I had 12,000 followers. But by the time I went about 5 months without posting something last year, I was getting like 100. It was a struggle to get 100 likes, right? Because of Instagram's algorithm. And so what I did in January was I deleted half of my followers, which everybody was just like, oh my God, that's so insane, right? But that was because my follower to, like, who they were showing my Instagrams to was real off the wall, right? And now I have built my engagement back up. Although I'm only at 6,000 whatever followers, I'm back to getting, you know, like 300 likes or whatever likes on my pictures. So you have to do research to figure out what helps your engagement on social media. I knew that I could have had 12,000 followers on Instagram right now, but nobody would have seen my pictures, right? I would have been getting 112 likes barely. And so I did that, and that seems like a really weird strategy, but I did some research of, like, why is nobody liking my pictures? Do people just not care about me anymore? Blah, blah, blah. And then I read a lot more about Instagram's algorithm, and I realized I needed less followers. And if I wasn't so lazy, because on Instagram you have to delete every follower by hand, I probably would have deleted one, but I was like, I'm almost tired, y'all. I deleted 6,000 people. So think about doing your research. Think about doing the research that works for your market too, because my Instagram, Brown Girl Blogger's Instagram, is so different. Like, you literally, as a regular blogger, you can't compare your Instagram to that Instagram. It's just different. But my personal Instagram is fashion related. It's lifestyle related. And another thing that I'll talk about, I kind of hate this, and I'll talk about it very, very slightly, is that I really hate talking about this a lot. My husband is white, right? And y'all know that people, for some reason, have this weird thing about interracial relationships. And I noticed that if I put him on my Instagram, people like the pictures. So for a long time, I just never, ever did. And guess what? I put him on my Instagram on our anniversary or whatever, and I got like 200 followers. I'm not even joking. And that's kind of really crazy and ridiculous.
That is crazy.
It's true. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it, because I hate when bloggers act like I've seen some bloggers or YouTubers,
yeah,
specifically, who act like the fact that they, man, white, don't help and make them more palatable, I guess, to white people, because it does, right? Even I've noticed, like, I was telling my friend, we went to Napa this weekend, and I was the only black person, and I've noticed a difference in how I was treated when he was beside me versus when I was by myself. So I do try to think about stuff like that too. I personally don't like using that to my advantage, because I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not about to do a blog post or a video about, like, being in an interracial relationship or whatever. I'm just not there at that point. But, you know, I think about stuff like that when somebody asks me, like, okay, well, then how did your Instagram grow? Then I tell the truth about things like that, because what is the point of me lying to y'all? That doesn't make sense. But I think any type of relationship actually gets you more followers, quite honestly. But
agree. Especially good-looking people. Like, let's be honest. Like, when it's good-looking people.
Yes, and if you have, like, y'all both have those bodies right or something like that. I think about stuff like that. I think about stuff like the actual brand that I'm wearing. You got to think about stuff like the times that you post on social media. Things like Twitter. Like, if you're funny, and I don't know, I'm kind of like a... I call myself an around-the-house comedian, because, like, you know, if you round a house, basically, you laughing and you joking around, and I make people laugh, but I'm not a real comedian, so I feel like I could get the jokes off on Twitter, but I feel like I'm too problematic for that, and I don't need, like, everybody coming after me, so I don't do that. But, you know, if you know that's your personality, and you have a big personality, that's another way to grow your social media as well. For instance, on Snapchat, I had a hot mess, a hot full mess, and my Snapchat is, like, one of my bigger social media platforms as far as the engagement goes. So, yeah.
I say use things to your advantage. Yeah. You know, don't try to be like other people. Use things to your advantage, but also understand reality. It's like what Candace was saying earlier. You notice that when she started looking for real clients to actually buy into her business and support her in being a consultant for them, she went offline. Because a lot of things that are online are fake or right. phony or contrived.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you know, half your followers could just be following and just watching. They're not really there for your content, you know. So a lot of times you have to take it back to the basics and sort of pay attention to what you're good at, tap into what you're good at, and also know your audience, because your audience might not be on Instagram. Your audience might not be on Twitter. You know, your audience might not be on Snapchat. Figure out where your audience is. But the one thing that I really want you guys to, who's talking? That would be me. Sorry. I was trying to do this, you know, like IG Live as we're talking about this stuff. And I just can't, you guys. I can't do both.
Can't be like that.
Okay, so I'm going to let it go. We'll just see whatever you see. But this is the thing. I was just telling them on IG Live the other day that this is the scenario. Everybody is putting all this stock and all this effort into growing their social media. Like you ladies have both pointed out, when if you started back in like 2009, 2010, 11, 12, your exposure, your following, all of that is going to be significantly different than anybody right now, okay? That's just coming into the game. I am not trying to discourage anybody, but please have realistic expectations. You are not going to, I had this one woman, I do consulting work sometimes, and I had this one woman who was at about like, how about a good 10,000 followers? And she was like, I want to be at 100,000 quick. Huh? Excuse me? What are you doing? What are you doing up there? And then the reality is that it just doesn't happen like that, you know? Like you said, you haven't paid for any followers or anything, but two chance to one, a lot of the people that you see grow overnight, they have.
Yep.
Because you can pay for followers and you can pay for engagement. So if you're paying for that, but then you're looking to get some return off of that, you won't. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So be mindful of why you're using social media and how you're using it and what role you want it to play in your business or in your growth, because it might just be more fantasy than it is reality for you. You know? So
yeah. I want to piggyback off that. I wrote this in my newsletter for BGB last week, actually. Everybody they're thinking about money, right? That's why people want to grow their social media.
Right.
And you're thinking, like, how can I monetize my blog? First of all, you don't need a lot of social media followers to monetize your blog. You also do not have to monetize by sponsored posts and stuff like that, right? You can monetize your blog without having a ton of followers. Not only that, your blog can help you get your dream job. Your blog can help you get some stuff offline. You know what I mean? I try to tell people to think about that. Because everybody right now, I think the big thing is courses and ebooks. And like I told them, I was very hesitant. I have stayed so far away from that because it makes me feel gross the way people are selling these things. And I stayed away from it. But the thing is, you don't have to sell a course to make money. Like, you don't. I do blog critiques for people. I literally look at their blog, give them stuff like that, right? I do blog design, not saying that you have to do that, right? I have gotten clients through just from brown girl bloggers. I have gotten people from my regular Twitter, and my Twitter only has like 1,200 followers or something like that. It's not a lot. Because like I said, I've never tried to build myself up. So stop trying to think that having a bunch of followers is going to get you paid, because I know that's what everybody wants. Or also, people want to live that lifestyle of getting paid to go on trips and stuff. And who don't want to get paid to go on trips, right? But you would be surprised at how easy it would be to contact the tourism board. And I'm saying this because this is what I used to do in college. It's very easy to contact the tourism board of a city and say, hey, I'm coming to your city. I need a free hotel room, and I'll do this and this and that for you guys. That's not that much for that city. You know, a one night at a decent hotel or whatever, or two nights at a decent hotel. You got to think outside of the box and not lose your morals for a free trip to New Orleans or whatever. Like, don't do that. So,
really quickly too, and I think that's super important. It's like the power of pitching. PR people know, but it's like, pitch yourself, and it doesn't hurt to ask, as I'm sure you guys are all aware. Like,
I one time, because it's like fake eyelashes are all a thing now, I guess. So I pitched myself and I was like, hey, I want to try this out. It's not really usually my style, but like definitely want to try it out. And they're like, no, I'm happy to like collaborate with you in exchange for a product. So if it's not payment, it's usually a product, which is cool. But also there's other platforms like Blogger, like monetization, or not monetization, but kind of like partner marketing sites like Collectively or Linkia. It'll help you as a blogger or an Instagram person connect to a brand. And I've never like used links for payment on my blog. I've only worked with brands for payment. And I feel like that feels like a little bit more authentic, not to say monetization is not bad at all. But I've gotten really amazing opportunities via Collectively. I've worked with Old Navy, and just like even working like the friends that you have too. Like I have a friend at Athleta, and we've like collaborated there, and it's not just for like, you know, product, but I'm also like writing on their website, the Chi blog. So I think those like kind of sites are really
connections. You actually, I wanted to say that when you said that old coworker called you about the Pinterest job,
yeah.
Right? You always gotta get to know people on more than a superficial level. I suppose, like, I am the type of person who, like, I want to know people. So, like, if I ask you how you're doing, I really want to know. If I ask you about your job, then I really, really want to know. And, I mean, y'all only been around me for, what, like an hour? But y'all know I'm going to tell y'all about me, too, at this point, because I talk a lot. But make connections. I've gotten so many things from just people who I went to college with calling me, like, hey, Candace, so-and-so needs this. I've gotten so many connections. I went shopping in Madewell one day and met somebody who I made a lot of money off of. Let's just, I met her in Madewell, and now my husband can't ever complain about me going shopping ever again in his life. I met her right outside the fitting room, started talking, and she was telling me all this stuff. Another thing, too, is my podcast for Brown Girl Bloggers. We actually help bloggers get blogger collaborations, which is something I've never been super vocal about until recently. And, I was doing my podcast, and like I said, I was pitching my podcast to people. But throughout the conversations with some of the people from my podcast, they've been like, so you do blogger collaborations? And I'm like, yeah, girl, you want me to help you find some bloggers? And I have gotten a few clients from that for Brown Girl Bloggers for us to basically connect those brands with the bloggers in my community. And that makes me happy because I'm helping these girls get paid in ways that, you know, they might not have gotten it other ways. So always, always try to make connections with people and try to make more than superficial connections, because I'm not going to call you and vouch for you with somebody over just one coffee date. I'm not going to do that. But if I know you and we text and we kiki, it sucks to say it like that, like, oh, I'm going to put my friends on, but I'm going to put my friends on, right?
Yeah.
And people are going to put me on because I'm their friends.
Yeah.
So think about that when you think about networking, because networking can seem kind of gross. And when I go to events and stuff, I have stopped giving my card out to everybody and trying to talk to everybody, because everybody is not the right connection for you. But even two or three really good connections, you're going to make money off that. So when you're talking about making money, especially in such a weird, in a city like this or somewhere where you don't know if your job is stable, people always tell me like jobs are stable when they're trying to, you know, talk crap to me for being self-employed, and I'm like, they can fire you, girl, whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or here with these startups, they can go under. Like, you could think
Yeah. They're
doing great and their financials not right. You know
Yeah. What
I mean?
Yeah.
So I always think about that. Think about the person that you're. Another really good one too. My husband met a recruiter for the company that he works for now. Maybe a year or so before he even knew he needed a job. And I remember when he met this guy, he was going to throw his card away. And I was like, if you don't email this man and like talk to him, are you crazy? And he ended up, you know, talking to him. And then when he needed a job, he contacted him out of the blue. And that dude connected him with somebody else. And that is how he got his job. There was no job posting. He had interviews, because y'all know the companies out here do the most with their interview processes. But there was never a job posting for the job that he has right now. There was never any formal anything. He just was talking to this guy. So always think about that.
Right. Does anyone have any specific questions about themselves, about their circumstance? Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, I have an idea. I want to start a platform that focuses on like creatives and change makers, like specific to Oakland.
Mm.
So like, if you think about like Pony, but like not so much interviewing people about like their day or some random story, but like how do you throw these amazing parties you throw, or how did you start this brand or your business or things like that. But one of the things I'm struggling with is like very, very much at the beginning, how do you, like, what should the content be in the beginning? No one wants to be interviewed and put on a website that nobody knows about.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, they do.
People like talking about themselves. People like being on the internet.
Yeah.
I thought that too, right? I mean, my circumstances are a little bit different because, you know, the first thing I put was like, I run a blogging group called Brown Girl Bloggers. Check out our Instagram with all these followers. This, and then I said, this isn't about BGB, though. Like, that was my pitch. But, you know, you're going to be a little different because maybe you haven't built a platform like that. But people like talking about themselves. Not only that, people like being on the internet. I can say for me, I remember when I first started freelancing, all I was trying to do was get little quotes and different little websites, right? Like, these entrepreneurs think this is how you time hacks or whatever. I don't know. But if you search my name, a bunch of little articles come up, and most people are not savvy enough to know that these websites are, people don't read them. Because I've had so many people come like, oh, I saw that you have articles. Like, I'm like, nobody's interviewed me, but okay, yeah, I have articles, girl. So people actually do like stuff like that, first of all.
It's the idea of press begets press. So if people are talking about you, if somebody's talking about you, then when people Google you, it's like, okay, then maybe I should be talking about you. Why don't I know about you? So you're just providing another outlet for people who may not be, who may not have the opportunity to shine. If you will, you're providing an outlet for them. And you have to think of it like this. If you continuously do this and you're consistent with your content that you put out and the interviews that you do and the people that you feature and highlight, and you have sort of like a direction behind it, the more that you do it, the more it'll continue to grow. The people that you interview will tell people that, hey, check out my feature. Next thing you know, you're on their social media because you featured them. But just make sure that you have everything in line before you start doing this, because although we just sat up here and said that social media is not everything, if you're going to be there, do it right though.
Yeah.
Have a good website.
Be able to make the connections, be able to connect the dots for people so that if you feature someone and then they tell all their followers, then when their followers go and look, they can then follow you.
Mm-hmm.
They can contact you if they want to be featured. All of these different things make it seamless for them.
I think that's a really cool idea, and I think hyper-local content is so big these days, and I kind of want to talk about just also, like, what are the cool things that are happening in Oakland, too, and, like, just pick out those nuggets and those stories, whether they're photo essays or reviews. I'm thinking kind of, like, events, yeah. I think, like, having a hub where all of that content can be placed is super amazing. I'm thinking of this one website that I look at often. It's called Hoodline in San Francisco, and it's a really amazing website where it's about, like, interesting stories, crime reports, which can be a little weird. But there's, like, all these things that are happening in different neighborhoods in San Francisco, and for me, I don't believe they have an Oakland version. And it's, oh, yeah? Oh, see, so you should definitely take a chance, like, take a look.
Look, spy on everything that they're doing, okay?
And to be a little bit different.
Yeah, and definitely, like, have your take, but I think it could also be, like, more, I mean, Hoodline does some longer features as well, which are amazing, but I think you could have, like, a very one-on-one experience with, like, Oakland and see it from your eyes, too, which would be amazing, because your perspective is yours, and it's very unique. So, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, Oakland Hustles.
Wait, sorry.
Oakland Hustles?
Did you buy the URL and everything?
Yes, I have the URL.
All right. I just want to say, you don't put it out there. Because meanwhile, I'll pull out my phone and make it cheap real quick.
Okay, good.
And just start reaching out to people. Create your own hashtag, too. Start reaching out to people. And just start making your own traction. And that's one of the things that I do want to offer to you guys. Like, you wouldn't be sitting here had I not said to myself, self, now you're doing this podcast, you should take this offline. Because for me, like, I haven't lived back in this area. Like, I've been back here like 2 years, but I've always been gone. I left, went away to college, and I hadn't returned. I was in New York, I was in LA, everywhere else. I was always gone. So coming back here for me was foreign, you know, and it was like, what am I supposed to do here? You know, I halfway didn't even really want to be here. But while you're here, what are you going to do?
you know? So I said, okay, I can start having these conversations offline. I don't have to wait for somebody to invite me to their event to be a speaker or to talk about the things that I, like Candace, can run my mouth about too. You know, I can create my own situation and really give women a forum to have these conversations that I know we need to have and we want to have. So guess what I did? I started talking to people, just like you said. I started reaching out and seeing what I can make happen. So that's what you have to do. If you have an idea or there's things that you want to do and it doesn't exist, start doing it. Make it happen for yourself. You know, because sometimes you wait for somebody else to give you an opportunity, but that just might not happen. That time might not come. So look, I was just saying this on IG Live before we got started. You only have this one life to live. If you don't live it to the fullest, you will regret that. You will not regret that somebody talked mess about you for something that you did and maybe you failed that. Maybe it wasn't the greatest. You will regret that. You will regret that you never did it. And as you continue to get older, I was also talking about just mortality and how you see people passing away of random things and stuff younger and younger. You don't want to be this 25-year-old who gets diagnosed with cancer and now can't do all the things that she always dreamed of and wanted to do. No, live your life now. Do everything that you want to do now because there may not be a tomorrow. So you want to look back and say, I'm happy.
Yes.
I did that. Yes. You know, I tried this. I tried that. Everything that you do will not be uber successful. It won't. But you tried. You put your best foot forward. And you just have to make the effort. Like, look here tonight. You'll notice there was about 40 people that RSVP'd. Are there 40 people here? No. Am I mad? No. You know why? Because I still did it. You ladies are here. We're having a good time. There's good conversation. I wouldn't have known if I would have just sat in my house and thought about it and then said, oh, but nobody might show up. Oh, I'm so nervous. No. I wouldn't have. Now I know things that I can do differently. Now I might let 100 people RSVP. You know what I mean? I cut it off at 40 because I'm like, I don't want it to be too crazy. But there's lessons learned. Now I know what I would do differently. So sometimes you just have to take that chance. You have to go out there. You have to do the things that you're even slightly thinking of doing, you know? Does anybody else have any other?
Perfect. That was great. Yeah. That was actually.
Any other questions specific to your circumstance? Because I want you to be helped. I want you to walk away with something that you feel like, I can work with that. Any other questions? Is anybody, okay, how many people are in here that are thinking about doing like a switch, pivot, or a quit?
Ooh, I have a question.
I have a question now. So a lot of the conversation has been around sort of being entrepreneurial. I am not.
Uh-huh.
There's no idea or thing that I like. I should try that.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Just not in my head.
Yeah.
I work 9 to 5. I do enjoy my job, but I've been doing it for a long time. And I feel like I do want to have a switch or I do want to have a pivot, but I don't really know what that is. And so I don't really know what my question is, but...
Maybe how you found that.
I got an answer.
Yeah.
Look. I try to be careful of that because I work in more of a freelance indie space. That tends to be what the conversation is that gravitates. But I understand not being about that life at all because it is a challenging life. Now, I'll say this to you. When I first started trying to figure out what was next for me, I interviewed at a bunch of different places. And when things weren't working out, I started thinking of, okay, well, what am I good at? And recently I did this thing where I made a list of 100 things that I was successful in. And it doesn't even matter if it was, like, one of them for me was climbing up or walking up the side of this mountain in Scotland, okay? Now, look, if you go and Google that mountain, you'll be like, that doesn't even look that high. But to me, who was walking up the side of the mountain, who lightweight realized that I had this weird fear that made me sort of want to run off the side of the mountain because it was there.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that was an accomplishment to get to the top of that mountain. So I would start with saying, do the personal work, the personal development. Find out why are you feeling like you might want to make a switch, you might want to make a pivot. What is it in that situation that doesn't have you content? Start really trying to figure that out for yourself because that will help you to identify what your next move will be easier. Because if you just float and just start applying for jobs and trying to do maybe something similar to what you're doing now, or maybe even the same thing, you just think you need to switch companies, what you'll find is you'll probably end up at another company, and a year later you'll probably be in the same situation. So start digging deep, doing some soul searching. I know I was going to ask you ladies about this, and we can talk about this too. Morning routines. I didn't used to have a morning routine when I worked a 9-to-5. I just barely would roll out of bed. You know what I mean? So, but now I have like a morning routine, and I realize how important that is for me. But one thing I will say, let me add this too. When I decided that I wanted to write a book, I knew that I had to be very focused and dedicated with it. And I was reading this book at one point, and it said, wake up an hour earlier than you normally would to work on your own project. And she was my roommate at the time, actually, and I would wake up like a fool. I would wake up earlier than normal, and I'd be half asleep, and sometimes I'd be typing, and I'd be like, oh, I fell asleep, you know, but I forced myself, and it became a part of my routine, and that enabled me to work on myself. It enabled me to work on the things that I wanted to do on the side, and it gave me discipline. So now a morning routine is a part of what I do. And sometimes having that alone time and allowing yourself to, if you meditate or just sit there in silence, things will come to you sometimes. And you'll be like, aha, that's a good one. So just really start digging into you. Go deep, go personal. Don't worry about all the outside noise and what people think you should do next and what kind of job they think you should get next. Start digging into here for yourself. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, but I was going to say something a little bit different, though. No, seriously. I was going to be like, if you're unhappy at your job, right? First of all, like you said, do the personal work, because some things, like, I figured out, like, for instance, I wanted to move here so bad, like, I hated living in San Diego, or so I thought, right? I was like, my life isn't perfect because I live here and I need to live in. But then I moved here and I realized the city is a city is a city, right? It's the people who I'm surrounded by and what I'm doing with my life. So I was going to say, but like, if you're tired of your job, just start looking for a new job, start volunteering at places. I volunteer. I love volunteering. And like, for instance, with me, I don't really necessarily want kids, but I like kids. I like being around kids and volunteering with kids and things like that. And I think, you know, in an alternate career, I would do something where I was especially working with, like, kids from, you know, lower income neighborhoods and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would just be, like, volunteer, apply for jobs, because what if, or even just, like, start talking to people that you know and be like, oh, what y'all got going on at y'all company, you know? And like she was saying, yeah, I tend to talk about entrepreneurship a lot, but I don't think everybody should be an entrepreneur, first of all. And plus, if everybody's an entrepreneur, who would work for me? Like, so I'm not one of those people who's like, don't work hard. I don't even think it's working hard to find somebody's dream. Because sometimes your dream is to go to your job, then come home, put on some PJs, eat, and watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I would say, yeah, just start putting your feelers out, seeing what else is out there. Or even if you like your company, if you can transfer within the company. That would
what be. Industry do you work in now?
Marketing.
So is it that you don't like, or you're sort of like not content with marketing at your company, or is it marketing as a whole?
No, it's just, it's more so that I've been at my company for a really long time.
How long?
6 years.
Yeah. I know that's 6 years.
And
I feel
pretty comfortable.
Okay.
And I don't feel, I mean, I do feel challenged, but I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need like a life shake up.
Yeah, now it's time to shake it up.
Do
yeah.
it. Just do it.
Yeah. You need to push yourself outside of your comfort
yeah.
zone. I definitely applaud you for coming here tonight. It looks like you came alone. That
yeah.
this is the first step in the right direction. Start pushing yourself. Start talking to people. Just like she said, start introducing yourself to people. Because when you've been at a company for so long, it's easy to just kind of glaze over things
mm-hmm.
and just kind of slide by. You know the office layout. You know everybody. You know what time people are going to come in, work, who's going to be early, who's going to be late. Like, you know what people, you can predict what day of the week somebody's going to have something for lunch. Like, you know all of these things. So now this is no longer new to you. You need new. So now is the time for you to just start pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. And one of the things that I did do when I was pushing myself to figure out what was next, I just started doing random stuff.
Yeah.
I started taking classes. I took an acting class. That was odd. But I did it, and I convinced one of my coworkers to take it with me. I took the acting class. I took flying trapeze. She was there when I did that. we took a sewing class together where we, the first project we made was like these little makeup bags or something. Just start doing, and a lot of these things I found them on Groupon and stuff. Start signing up for stuff.
Groupon is legit. I'm about to take some archery classes. I don't know what's going to happen, but
yeah,
definitely.
Did you have some
kind of trapeze class?
A little bit, yeah. Just,
it's kind of cool that you have realized that you like really don't want to be an entrepreneur. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, not everyone has to
be. If I had an idea, sure.
Yeah.
They're the most vocal on it on
yeah.
the internet, I feel like.
And I personally, as much as I have like a side hustle, like I love working at a company and I love working with a team.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like totally okay. I love having a boss who is a mentor too. And so like those are important things. But if you feel a little complacent, I'd say exactly what they're saying. And you know, like super, super wise things. It's just explore. And exploring is scary, but yeah. You'll figure it out, I promise you.
Okay, so my story is yours, and yours put together. Literally, like, worked 9 to 5, hated it, recently laid off. If it wasn't for my boyfriend, I would have been packed all my stuff and went right back to Kentucky. No tears and with a smile on my face. But I'm a vlogger. My numbers are very low. But I'm very introverted. And on top of that, I'm new to San Francisco. What would be, and I have like tons of ideas and no idea how to execute them, but they're great in my head right now. What would be your biggest networking tips? Because you don't want to be that person who goes in and is like, I'm only talking to you because
yes.
I know what you can do for me. But at the end of the day, I like you as a person, but I also know what you can do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what are your biggest, like, networking tips?
I have a pet peeve about networking because when I first started my business, like I said, my goal was to go to 3 networking events each week, and I didn't have a job. So I was like, or, you know, like once I quit my job. And something that I noticed is that everybody there was selling something, right? So, like, I would go to a networking event, and it would be somebody who sells, I don't know, something like Avon, whatever, you know, multi-level marketing thing. There would be, you know, a doctor trying to get people into his practice. Nobody would ever just ask me, like, oh, you know, they would ask me surface level. So what I would say is approach it like you're making friends, which might sound weird, but like she just said, your friends are the ones who are going to help you and stuff like that. So something that I do, like even when I walked in here and I saw somebody who had like, you know, well, I already knew Dominique, you know, or I'll compliment people. That's my biggest first thing because I feel like as women, that's the easiest way. Like your lipstick has been popping all night. And that is the first thing I would come up to you and be like, what do you do? I would be like, girl, that lipstick though, like what color are you wearing?
Right.
You know, and obviously I'm talking in a very black girl way right now, but this is how I talk almost to everybody. But let's be real, I do code switch too. But I approach it as in I want to make the other person feel good right away because I already know that almost even me, I'm extroverted. I go to networking events by myself a lot, but it's still nerve-wracking and it's always nervous. Even walking in here today, I'm walking up to the front like, I hope that everybody in there is nice. Like, I hope, you know, like, and I know.
Better know. What are you walking
right.
into?
Right. So the first thing I want to do is make a person feel good. Like, I can look at all of y'all right now. Like, I can look at her. I really like her shoes. Your hat is every... Actually, your whole situation you got with the photographer artsy thing. Like, I go through and I try to find something about everybody that I can do to make them feel good. Because right away, that's going to make that person feel comfortable. Yeah, you're going to feel comfortable around me. And then I go into the, oh, so did you come here by yourself? Or, you know, are you new? I mean, not are you new. What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, my new thing now, I just moved here, right? So it's really easy to connect. Oh, well, what do you recommend I do? Or blah. I don't ask people about business right away. I just don't do that. I do that after they are a good person and maybe we go out another time. For instance, at a client's, I was at one of my client's stores. I want to say it was Wednesday, and I met this girl, and we were just talking. We both drive the same car. We're both young and married. We both were thinking about buying houses, but we realized the Bay Area ain't set up to let us succeed in that way. So, and she has a really, really cool job, right? That came out of the conversation, but we just ended up being like, okay, we both might move out of the city to Oakland. And she was like,
you want to go explore Oakland together next weekend? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to have donuts and stuff with her at 11 o'clock on Saturday. I mean, we just got to chill, and I'm sure, hopefully, she seemed really cool, a friendship. And another thing, too, that we realized it was kind of like dating, because we're talking, right? And I'm realizing, like, one of us has to ask each other for the other person's number if we want to hang out, right? But it's awkward.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so we're going to hang out one day, right? Like, I'm awkward, but I don't care. But, yeah, approach it like that, making the other person feel comfortable, and don't always just be like, I'm a new blogger, and I'm looking for somebody to help me get my Instagram popping, like, you a photographer, blah, 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 you know? But I did see that, I did see your camera, and I was like, you a photographer? Because, you know, I'm looking for, but then I'm going to pay you for that, you know what I mean? That's like a thing I'm trying to, you know? So, stuff like that, make somebody comfortable. Sorry. And I say sorry a lot. I'm trying to get out of that habit, y'all.
Yeah.
Because I talk a lot, and I go, sorry that I talk a lot, or sorry that I'm in your way, or whatever. I'm trying to get out of that.
I think that's a lot of us do that, because it's just, we just kind of, second nature, exactly.
To make yourself look smaller.
Yeah,
or
we have to work, everybody.
I actually am working on it, but it's been like this, I keep hearing it every time I do it tonight, so
good.
This is an exercise for me, to hear myself.
Good. Do you have any?
No,
any
I think it was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a question about hopping around on jobs.
Yeah.
So I recently finished grad school maybe like 2 years ago, and since then I've had like 3 jobs.
Yeah.
And I always hear my mom, who's a nurse and has been a nurse her whole life, say, you know, when are you going to start building up that 401k? And when are you going to find a job where you can stay and sort of, like, establish yourself? And I really want to be somewhere where I can grow and I can make them grow. And that's what's really important to me, and I haven't found that place yet. So what are your feelings about hopping around in the market, and then also getting feedback from people about, you know, maybe your skills or what you bring to the table?
So I actually have a friend who she's lived in the Bay Area for like 4 or 5 years. She's had like 6 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And like I would say that's a considerable amount.
Yeah.
She's gotten fired from a few. She's gotten like laid off, you know, she's like left on her own. So there's like a few, that's a lot. And she owns it. And I think it's because like if you haven't found what you're passionate about still, like that is totally okay, and like you would just need to say that in an interview setting, or you know, I think it speaks volumes that you're like still like the U2 song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, like that's okay. And I think you should just definitely just acknowledge that too, and say, you know, I really loved XYZ about this job, but it really wasn't the right time for me, or I was feeling just a little held back in terms of what I could do. And then what was the other part of your question? Sorry.
I guess figuring out what people are sources or platforms to get feedback from, as far as like skills. Like I'll apply for jobs and it's like, I know I can do the job, but maybe because I don't have a certain certification or I don't have a certain degree, you know, I might not fit into the box that they've kind of created. But I'm just wondering how to like sell myself and say like, you know, I've done this, I know how to do this, I can do it.
If you have mentors from other jobs, too, or people that you really trusted, I would definitely reach out to them. They probably also have a pretty considerable network. And also, they have experience working with you, so they can provide really actionable feedback on your performance. Also, I'm the biggest LinkedIn stalker, and it's my preferred form of social, like, connection. And so I reach out to people if I'm looking for a job, say, at Sephora. I'm like, okay, I want to do writing at Sephora. I look at the marketing manager or whatever. I message her and just say, hey, I'm really, I would love to get your, you know, your viewpoint on your position and life at Sephora. I would love to ask you for coffee. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but at least you try, right? And so that's what I like to do. And then, you know, just kind of also asking your network too on Facebook. I've asked a ton of people for like advice, whether they have resume critiques for myself, or anything like that, and that's been super helpful.
I will say that too. My Facebook is only really my personal friends and family, right? That's the first place I go to ask them, what do you think about me doing this? Because sometimes it could be the way you come off For instance, with me, although I'm very open and nice, I come across as kind of mean sometimes because I'm blunt, right? You can't be blunt in every situation. You literally just can't. So I've had so many people tell me how to soften that and stuff like that. Also, again, like she said, have somebody look at your resume, because so many of my friends, I hire people, right? So many of my friends have had me look at their resumes, and immediately I'm like, this is boring. Like, you have no actionable things on your resume, X, Y, and Z. I don't know if you've done that. I don't know how comfortable you feel with asking people you have worked with before, even your coworkers, right, can give you a lot of advice, but make sure you let them know you're cool with them being honest with you,
right?
Because they just need to give it to you straight up, Chaser, like, for real. And if you can reach out too, I don't know if you left your last positions in a bad way, but if you didn't, you can reach out to previous managers as well. And like she said, even people who work at companies that you want to work for, because that's something that I'm going to start doing here. I'm going to start reaching out to people who just work at companies that I'm interested in knowing more about, and not on some, like, let me pitch you my blog, just on a, you know, I would like to talk to you for a few minutes, things like that.
It's about being strategic, you know? I think your best course of action is to identify where you want to work, what you want to do, start stalking the company, start stalking some of the people, and then familiarize yourself with what they do and how they do it, and then tailor your resume, your cover letter, and everything to be very specific to their jargon, their industry terminology, and everything. Like, really understand the culture that they've created, so when they look at your resume, they're like, why doesn't this girl already work here? You know what I mean? Like, make it very specific like that, and then the PR spin, a way that you sort of handle, like she said, one thing is to definitely own that you have hopped around a little bit, but you can also say, you know, and they're like, oh, so you've had a few jobs, you know, since you graduated. Yeah. You know, I graduated from grad school, and I was really just trying to find my way in a space that felt the best for me. So I've been exploring my options, you know, make it seem like all of this was your doing. All of this was in her plan, okay? Now they're just falling right into your plan by interviewing you and potentially giving you this job. You know, and then once you start wooing them with everything that you know about them and how, you know, in tune you are with them and their business, they won't even care about where you worked and how many other places you worked at, you know? It's about the presentation. It's about putting the pieces to that puzzle together in a way that somebody else can connect the dots. You don't have to physically be in front of them to connect the dots, because they have to be able to connect the dots and understand your story and see some value in your story before they even call you in for an interview. So that's what I would say about that. All right, ladies, thank you so much for everyone coming out. Thank you so much for our special guest. And have a great chat.
Thank you so much for listening. I know this episode was a bit longer than what is normal for the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chats, but I hope that you enjoyed it. I thank you for spending this time with us. And if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, please be on the lookout, because the live Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat will happen again. And until then, I hope you have an amazing week. I hope you have an amazing month. I hope you really have an amazing year, and just keep killing it.